Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Ugly Truth, by Jeff Kinney. Dedication to Thomas. September, Thursday. It's been almost 2.5 weeks since me and my best ex-friend, Rowley Jefferson, had our big fight. To be honest with you, I thought he would have come crawling back to me by now, but for some reason that hasn't happened. I'm actually starting to get a little concerned, because school starts back up in a few days, and if we're going to get this friendship back on track, something needs to happen, quick. If me and Rowley really are through, that would stink, because the two of us had a pretty good thing going. Now that our friendship is history, I'm in the market for a new best friend. The problem is, I've invested all my time in Rowley, and I don't have anyone lined up to take his place. The two best options I have at this point are Christopher Brownfield and Tyson Sanders, but each of those guys has his own issue. I hung out with Christopher for the last few weeks of the summer, mostly because he's a really excellent mosquito magnet. But Christopher is more of a summertime friend than a school year friend. Tyson is nice enough, and we like the same video games, but he pulls his pants all the way down when he uses the urinal, and I don't know if I can ever get past that. The only other kid my age who's not paired up with someone is Fregley, but I ruled him out as best friend material a long time ago. Anyway, I'm still keeping the door open a crack for Rowley, just in case. But if he wants to save this friendship, he'd better do something fast. Because the way things stand, he's not going to come out looking very good in my autobiography. I might end up writing something like Chapter 8, Childhood. I used to live near this kid. I think his name was Rupert, or Roger, or something. With my luck, though, I'll go on to be rich and famous, and Rowley will still find a way to ride my coattails. He'll write a book called I Used to Be Friends with Greg Heffley, by Rowley Jefferson. Saturday. The reason I don't see things changing between me and Rowley is because he's already found himself a replacement friend. Or to be more accurate, his parents did. For the past few weeks, Rowley's been hanging out with this teenager named Brian. Whenever I go by Rowley's house, he's out in his front yard throwing a football or a frisbee with a guy who looks like he's in high school or college. Well, I did some poking around and found out that this Brian guy isn't just some normal kid from the neighborhood. He's part of a company called Cool Brian, which is sort of like a big brother for hire kind of thing. In fact, I'd be willing to bet money this guy's name isn't even really Brian. Brian gets there in a van with a sign that says, Cool Brian, Wholesome Mentors for Growing Boys. Mom said she thinks the Cool Brian thing is a great idea, because it gives kids a role model they can look up to. That makes me kind of mad, because the way I see it, I'm Rowley's role model. And now Rowley's parents are paying some guy to do what I've been doing all these years for free. The thing that really burns me is that Rowley probably doesn't even know his parents are paying this guy to spend time with him. And I don't think it would really bother Rowley if he did know the truth. Today, I saw Rowley hanging out with a different Cool Brian. So Rowley's regular guy must have had the day off. But I could tell Rowley didn't even notice. Tuesday. Today was the first day of school. I don't want to jinx things, but it's looking like this could be a great year for me. In homeroom, we got our textbooks for the semester. My school can't afford to get new books every year, so we usually get hand-me-downs. But when you get a book that 10 kids had before you, it makes it kind of hard to do any actual learning. Usually, I have really bad luck when it comes to previous book owners. Last year, I got a math book that had belonged to Brian Goot, and that didn't exactly up my cool factor in the hallways. But this year, I totally lucked out. When I got my math book, I found out it used to belong to Jordan Jury. Jordan Jury is the most popular kid in the grade above me, so carrying his textbook around should translate into some major popularity points. One reason Jordan is so popular is because he always has these big blowout parties, and it's really hard to get invited. But I figure this algebra book could be just the thing I need to get on his radar. Speaking of popular kids, I sat near Bryce Anderson and his group of friends at lunch today. Bryce is basically the Jordan Jury of my grade, and he's got a bunch of cronies who are always going along with everything he says. And those guys are loyal to Bryce, no matter how dumb he makes them look. See, Bryce Anderson has the right idea. He doesn't actually need a best friend, because he's got a bunch of lackeys who basically worship him. The reason me and Rowley didn't make it is because we were equal partners in our friendship, and I don't think that kind of model has a chance of working out. Friday. At school today, I heard Rowley tell some kid he was going to a rock concert tonight. I admit, I was a little jealous, since I've never been to a real concert myself. But when I found out who was performing, I was glad I wasn't invited. Joshy, that French singer that Rowley found out about when he was vacationing with his family in France. Still, it kind of irks me that Rowley is having more fun than I am. In fact, it seems like everyone is having more fun than me these days. There are some kids in my grade who post their pictures online, and from the looks of things, they're having a way better time than I am. I don't want people thinking my life is lame, so I decided to take some pictures to show how great things are going for me. All you really need is a digital camera and a photo editing program, and you can make it look like you're having a total blast. Tonight, I was right in the middle of creating a wild New Year's Eve party scene when I got busted by Mom. Oh, well. Mom won't let me post photos on the computer anyway because of privacy and all that. Or maybe it's because she learned her lesson after getting my older brother Roderick post his pictures. Roderick's been trying to get a new job so he can buy a new drum set, but nobody will hire him. So Mom told him that nowadays employers look up people they're thinking of hiring, and that his pictures are probably hurting his chances. So Roderick replaced his band pictures with one where he's wearing a tie and reading an encyclopedia. But his face looks angry, like someone made him read the book. Wednesday. This year, everyone in my grade has to take Advanced Health, which covers some top-secret stuff that I guess they didn't think we were ready for until now. In the first few classes, the boys and girls were mixed together. But today, Nurse Powell said she was gonna split us up. She sent the girls down to Mrs. Gordon's room, and then she put in a video for us boys to watch. From what I could tell, the video was at least 30 years old, so I'm sure Dad watched the exact same tape when he was my age. I'm not going to describe everything that they showed in the video, because it was actually pretty disgusting. If you ask me, some of that stuff doesn't really belong in a classroom. Rowley didn't even make it through the whole video. He passed out at the 2-minute mark when they said the word perspiration. To be honest with you, I don't know if Rowley's ready for this stuff. He's basically like a little kid. He once told me he avoids the other kids at school because he's afraid he's going to catch puberty. In fact, now that I think about it, I haven't seen Cool Brian for a while. So I wonder if Rowley's avoiding him too because he thinks he's contagious. That kind of thing happened in last year's health class when they did a smoking unit. The teacher said that you never know who's going to offer you a cigarette, and they could even be your best friend. Well, after Rowley heard that, he wouldn't walk on the same side of the street as me for a solid month. Believe me, I don't need some teacher to tell me it's not cool to smoke. My grandfather convinced me of that last Thanksgiving. Anyway, I think Rowley's just one of those kids who are always going to be a few years behind everyone else, maturity-wise. Rowley doesn't even know how to tie his shoes yet, because he's the kind of person who has Velcro everything. Last year, Rowley's mom bought him some sneakers with laces, and I can't even tell you how many times I had to bail him out. I guess it probably should have been a warning sign that my best friend was impressed that I knew how to tie my own shoes. Thursday. Today, I was reading the comics in the newspaper, and I saw an ad that caught my attention. It was for Peachy Breeze Ice Cream, and apparently, they're looking for a new spokesperson. The ad read, "Your child could be the next Peachy Breeze Kid. Open tryouts at Liberty Street Mall this Saturday." Peachy Breeze has those commercials on TV that run nonstop, with that kid with the freckles and the high-pitched voice.
"Peachy Breeze is peachy keen."
The Peachy Breeze Kid used to be kind of cute, but over the years, he's gotten a little seedy-looking.
"Peachy Breeze is peachy keen."
So I guess they're looking for someone to take his place. Well, I'd be perfect for the role. First of all, I love ice cream, so it wouldn't be hard for me to do the acting part. Second, I would be willing to miss a lot of school to fulfill my Peachy Breeze obligations. And they wouldn't have to worry about me getting too old for the part because I'd take whatever I needed to take to stop growing. The only stumbling block I can see is that Dad hates the Peachy Breeze TV ads because he thinks the kid is annoying. So I don't think he'd be too thrilled if I became their new spokesperson. There's just something about that kid that gets on Dad's nerves. In fact, I think he hates the Peachy Breeze kid even more than he hates Little Cutie, which is saying something. Every time Dad sees a Peachy Breeze commercial on TV, he writes the Peachy Breeze people an angry letter, saying that the ads drive him crazy and he'll never buy any of their products. A few weeks later, Dad gets a response in the mail from Peachy Breeze, and it's always the same thing. Coupons for free ice cream. I think it's been going on like this for years, and if something doesn't change, we're going to have to get an extra freezer to hold all of our Peachy Breeze ice cream. Saturday. I told Mom about the Peachy Breeze Kid contest last night, and she said it seemed like an exciting opportunity. But it turns out she was thinking of my little brother Manny when she said that. In fact, this morning, Mom and Manny were ready to take off for the audition without me, but I caught them just in time. Mom seemed surprised that I wanted to be the Peachy Breeze Kid and said I might be too old for the part. At first, I thought that was ridiculous. But when I saw my competition at the mall, I could kind of see where she was coming from. I figured I could charm the judges and get the job anyway. Plus, I had an edge, because I was the only kid trying out who could read a cue card. There must have been 200 kids in line, and I realized if I wanted the job, I was going to have to come up with some sort of gimmick. So I decided I'd jump up and click my heels together when I said the Peachy Breeze slogan. But when it was finally my turn to go, things didn't work out as I'd planned. I dropped the ice cream on the floor. I knew my chances of getting the part weren't good when the casting people sent me out of the door without even asking my name. My opportunity was slipping away, so I did what I could to improve my odds. I told the judges, "I'm pretty sure the next kid in line is allergic to peaches." But it looks like the job is going to go to a younger kid after all, which really stinks. You know, this isn't the first time I've been discriminated against because of my age, either. Last October, me and Rowley heard that our local news station was going to be at the Red Apple Farm to shoot footage of kids carving pumpkins and making scarecrows and stuff like that. We knew this was our big chance to be on TV, so we plopped ourselves in front of the news camera and really hammed it up. But it took about 5 seconds for the news people to kick us out. Then they brought in some little kids to take our place, and they did the exact same thing me and Rowley were doing. And sure enough, those kids were on the news that night. The truth is, this kind of thing has been going on for a long time, and where it's worst is in my own family. Up until I was 8 or 9, I was the star of every family gathering. It seemed like nobody could get enough of me. Everyone loved it when I'd sing, "I'm a little teapot, short and stout." But after Manny was born, things really changed for me. when I'd sing the teapot song, Grandma said, "Oh, grow up." See, when you're a little kid, nobody ever warns you that you've got an expiration date. One day you're hot stuff, and the next day, you're a dirt sandwich. I guess I can understand why Roderick's always so grumpy. It's been a long time since he was the center of attention, and believe me, he's not getting any cuter. The person who's lucky is Rowley. He's an only child, so at least he doesn't have to worry about being replaced by the next kid to come along. He can go on singing the teapot song till he's in high school. Monday, tonight at dinner, Dad told us that his younger brother, Uncle Gary, got engaged to his girlfriend, Sonia. I guess that's great news and all, but Uncle Gary has been married 3 times before, so this kind of has become a regular thing in our family. In fact, we don't even use grow charts at home, because we can just look at our pictures from Uncle Gary's weddings to keep track of our progress. So I think everyone's a little burned out by now. When Uncle Gary got married the 3rd time, Mom didn't even bother to replace the picture of his 2nd wedding on the mantle. She just taped a photo of the new wife's head on top of the old one. Uncle Gary's not a bad guy or anything. He just rushes into these relationships too quickly. He got engaged to his 1st wife, Linda, 2 months after they met. And she didn't even find out what he did for a living until their wedding day. And I heard Uncle Gary's 2nd wife, Charlene, thought he had a lot of money because of a miscommunication on their 2nd date. She said, "I've got about $30,000 in the bank, maybe 40. And Uncle Gary said, "Oh, and I've got 45. It turns out Uncle Gary had $45, not $45,000. But Charlene didn't find out about that until it was time to pay the band at the wedding. Dad's always saying Uncle Gary needs to grow up and stop acting like a child. But if I were Dad, I wouldn't hold my breath. Tuesday, I found out that Uncle Gary's wedding is going to be in November, and the reception will be at my great-grandmother Gammy's house, like last time. Gammy is 95 years old, but she still lives in the big house where she grew up. She's like the official head of the whole Heffley family. Gammy is one of the only people in the world who still writes letters, and when she writes you a letter, she expects you to write one back. I've tried to explain to Gammy that people my age don't know how to write letters with a stamp and a return address and all that stuff, but she doesn't want to hear it. At Uncle Gary's last wedding, Gammy handed me a starter letter, plus an envelope with her address and a stamp on it so I wouldn't have any excuse not to write. But I still haven't filled it out and mailed it yet. So now, every time I walk past my desk in my bedroom, I feel guilty. Gammy's always making you feel guilty. Last year at Thanksgiving, I put a whoopee cushion on her chair, and she sat on it. A few days later, everyone in the whole family got a handwritten apology letter from Gammy. It read, "Dear family, I am writing to apologize for the unfortunate incident that occurred shortly after our family concluded grace at our Thanksgiving celebration. As I have gotten older, I have found it more difficult to control my body, and I'm afraid my recent surgery may have contributed to my little slip. I hope this unfortunate mishap does not become the lasting impression of what was otherwise a glorious and blessed occasion. Love, Gammy." Sometimes I wonder if Gammy is just messing with everyone and does this kind of thing on purpose. Last Easter, she invited the whole family to her house, but everyone had their own thing going on and nobody went. Gammy called Dad on Easter Sunday and said she'd bought a scratch ticket and won the $10 million grand prize. Word got around the family quick, and everyone was at Gammy's house in no time flat. But it turned out the scratch ticket wasn't a winner after all. Gammy didn't seem too bothered that she wasn't a multimillionaire after all, and I have the feeling she got what she really wanted anyway. I hope I live to be 95 years old, because if I do, I guarantee you I'll be messing with people, too. What makes me kind of nervous about going to Gammy's house in November is that it's time for me to get the talk. Every time someone in my family gets to be about my age, Gammy sits them down and talks to them about who knows what. I guess it's one of those elder wisdom kind of things. The last person to get the talk from Gammy was Roderick, and now I'm next in line. I'm hoping Uncle Gary breaks off his engagement so we don't have to go down there, because the whole thing is making me a nervous wreck. Thursday. We've got a new math teacher at our school named Mrs. McElroy. She used to teach kindergarten, and I don't think she's really crazy about middle school kids. We have math right after phys ed, so by the time we get to Mrs. McElroy's room, everyone's all sweaty from exercising. Mrs. McElroy complained to the principal and said she can't teach when it smells like a monkey house in the room. So the principal said that from now on, us kids have to take showers after gym. Well, I can tell you that most of the boys in my class were not on board with that decision. The only person who was okay with it was Roger Townsend, but he was held back twice, and he's practically a man anyway. So the rest of us decided we were going to have to fake it. After phys ed was over yesterday, we all took turns getting our hair wet so it looked like we showered. I don't know if it really fooled Mrs. McElroy, but I don't think she's ever going to go into the boys' locker room and investigate. This showering situation reminds me of something that happened over the summer when me and Rowley were still friends. I used to go up to Rowley's house just about every day, but the problem was I had to walk past Fregley's house each time. I remembered Roderick saying that a person could make it all the way from our house to the top of the hill by crawling through the drainage pipe. I decided to see if he was right, and believe it or not, he was. It was pretty dark and nasty in that drainage pipe, but it was totally worth crawling through it to avoid Fregley. When I headed back home, I went through the drainage pipe again, but I probably should have hosed off in the front yard or something, because Mom seemed suspicious when I walked through the front door. I knew Mom would have a fit if she found out I crawled through the drainage pipe, so I didn't say anything. But Mom told me I was going to have to take a shower before dinner. When I got out of the bathroom, there was something sitting on my bed, a gift-wrapped package. I opened it up and found a stick of deodorant and a book. The book was called What the Heck Just Happened to My Body? I put the deodorant on my dresser and I tossed the book in the trash. I'd seen that one before. Mom must have gotten the same book for Roderick when he was my age, and I found it in his junk drawer. And believe me, I do not need to see the pictures in that book a second time. And what's worse is that Mom made me the subject of her parenting column in our local newspaper that week. She didn't use my actual name, but I don't think it would have taken a detective to figure out who she was talking about. Here's part of what she wrote in the newspaper. Puberty can be a difficult time. When a child begins to experience the changes that come with adolescence, the transformation can be uncomfortable, awkward, or even frightening. But given the right guidance, a child can learn to welcome and even celebrate the transition into adulthood. My second-born son recently began his wondrous journey into his new... And so on and so on. Sunday. Tonight, Mom called a house meeting, and whenever she does that, it's never good. The last time we had a house meeting, it was so she could complain about the situation in the bathroom. She said she was tired of having to clean the floor around the toilet because of our lousy aim. I knew exactly what she was talking about, too. One time, I actually missed the school bus because I used the bathroom after Manny. I was stuck to the floor. All I can say is, I'm not the one causing the problem. When Roderick uses the bathroom, half the time he doesn't even turn the light on. Mom said the new rule was that us boys were going to have to sit down every time we used the bathroom, no matter what. But none of us guys liked that idea. Roderick suggested we just buy a couple of urinals, since there were more of us than there were of her. Plus, that way, more than one person could go at the same time. But Mom said that would be tacky, and she used her veto power to shut down his idea. I thought tonight's house meeting was going to be a follow-up to the bathroom meeting, since nobody was following the sitting-down rule, and things are worse than ever. But this meeting was about something completely different. Mom told us that she was going back to school, and that she was going to start taking classes a few times a week. Well, I was totally caught off guard by this news. Mom's always there when I get home from school, and that's the way I like it. But Mom said that after all these years of staying home with us kids, she needs to do something to stimulate her mind. So she said she's going to take classes for a semester and see how it goes. I guess I can understand why Mom would want to branch out, because if I did the kinds of things she does every day, I'd probably be going bananas too. Mom said us men are going to have to make our own dinners for a few nights a week and start doing chores that she usually takes care of herself. One of those chores is making lunches. And to be honest with you, I'm pretty happy that this one is getting turned over to us. Mom writes a note on our lunch bags every day, and I can definitely live without that. Stuff like, "Dear Gregory, have a healthy, happy day. Love, Mom." Wednesday. Okay, so the first few nights with Mom away have been a disaster. We tried making dinner on our own on Monday, but none of us knew what we were doing. Manny was in charge of making the iced tea, but it was undrinkable since he stirred it with his bare hands. Roderick was in charge of cooking the roast beef, but he forgot to take the plastic wrap off before putting it in the oven. The meat came out shiny. So we bagged the homemade meal idea and went out to eat. When we left the restaurant, Roderick spit his gum at some moths that were flying around, and he hit Dad by accident. Dad chased Roderick around the parking lot, but Roderick is actually pretty fast, and Dad couldn't catch him. Then Dad tripped over a curb and twisted his ankle. So Roderick had to drive Dad to the emergency room. When the doctor asked Dad how he hurt his ankle, Dad said he wasn't looking where he was going and stepped on one of Manny's toy trucks in the driveway. I kind of understand why Dad didn't want to tell the truth. One time I broke my wrist, and I told everyone I broke it in a fist fight. What really happened was that I tried to stand up after my legs fell asleep from sitting on the toilet too long. But I liked my version better. So, it's only been a few days without Mom, and things are already starting to fall apart. We've got one serious injury so far, and who knows what's in store down the road. Thursday. We brought back leftover from the spaghetti barn, and that's what we had for dinner tonight. But Dad had to stay late at work, so he called Roderick and told him to warm up everybody's spaghetti in the microwave. Roderick gave me my plate first, and when he did, he said, "Careful, it's very hot." I blew on my spaghetti for a while to cool it down. But what I didn't know was that Roderick never actually heated my spaghetti in the microwave. He just pretended to. So when I bit into a meatball, it was ice cold. After that experience, I doubt I'll ever be able to eat leftovers again. And the bagged lunch thing isn't working out either. This week, Roderick was in charge of making lunches, and he wrote a note on my bag just like Mom does, except his read, "Dear Greg, make sure to change your diaper after lunch. Love, Mommy." I didn't even bother eating the sandwich, since I'd never seen Roderick wash his hands, even once. My chore for the week is laundry, and I can't wait until my shift is over. For the record, I think it should be illegal for a boy to have to fold his mother's underwear. Friday. One of the big changes with Mom going to school is now that Dad's in charge of helping me with my homework. It's a problem. No offense to Dad, but Mom is way better at homework than he is. When Mom helps me do my homework, She basically gives me all the answers, and I'm in and out in 10 minutes. It's a whole different story with Dad. He wants to teach me how to do the work, and that's a lot more time-consuming. Plus, it's been a long time since Dad was in school, so I have to sit there and wait till he reads my textbooks and gets caught up. But math is the worst. I guess the way they teach math these days is totally different than the way they taught it when Dad was a kid. So he gets frustrated with the new rules and starts trying to teach me the way he learned it. Dad also licks his fingers and thumb to make it easier for him to turn the pages. And when he does that, I try to keep track of which pages he turns so I don't touch his spit. But with all those numbers in my head, it doesn't leave a lot of room for math facts. I can tell when I've done something wrong, because Dad gets kind of frustrated with me and breathes heavy out through his nose. So I've learned to put a dish towel on my arm whenever we're working algebra. By the time it's over, 2 hours have gone by, and it's time for me to go to bed. All I can say is, I hope Mom wraps up her classes pretty quick, because I'm a person who really needs his TV time at night. Monday. This math thing is becoming a problem. We have standardized testing coming up at my school, and I heard that the teachers won't get their bonuses unless we get good scores. So there's a lot of pressure on us kids, which kind of stinks. I remember back in kindergarten, math used to be really fun. The teacher would say, "One chocolate chip cookie plus another chocolate chip cookie is..." And I would yell, two chocolate chip cookies!" Mrs. McElroy says that if we don't do well on the test, we'll lose our budget and music class will turn into detention, or something like that. But I don't think the kids are really getting the message. A few weeks ago, we had a math quiz, and Mrs. McElroy said it was open notebook, which meant we could use our notes and textbooks to help us out. Then she left the classroom to take care of something, and the second she stepped out the door, it was total chaos. Practically everybody failed the quiz because people were using their notebook paper and books as ammunition. So based on that episode, I don't think Mrs. McElroy had better make any big plans for how she's going to spend her bonus. October, Tuesday. Tonight, Dad walked up to me while I was sitting on the couch, and he seemed bent out of shape about something. He wanted to know why I didn't bring out the recycling bin this morning like he asked me to. I told him he must be confused because he never said anything to me about the recycling. But he said he asked me to do it last night while I was playing video games. And to be honest with you, that did seem a little familiar. If I did forget it, it wasn't my fault. I actually have a really great system for remembering things. You know how some people leave notes for themselves when they need to remember something? Well, I think that's a lot of work, and it's a waste of paper, too. So, let's say I'm in bed and Mom walks into the room and tells me I have to bring a permission slip to school in the morning. I don't get out of bed and write a note. I just throw one of my pillows across the room. Then, when I wake up in the morning and I walk out the door, I see the pillow and I think, "Hey, what's that pillow doing there?" Then I remember, oh yeah, I have to bring a permission slip to school. See what I mean? It's totally foolproof. Now that I think of it, I did leave myself a reminder to take out the recycling. I specifically remember putting my socks on the TV before I went to bed to remind myself in the morning. And if Dad did something to mess up my system, then he's only got himself to blame. But Dad wouldn't let it go. He said, "Now that I'm getting older, I need to start being more responsible." I've heard this sort of thing from Dad before. In the last few weeks of summer, our neighbor, Mrs. Grove, hired me to take care of her plants while she was on a business trip. Well, I did it for the first few days, and then I guess you could say I got busy with other things. When Dad asked me how the plants were doing, I realized I hadn't been over there in at least a week. I went to grab Ms. Grove's keys so I could water her plants, but the key wasn't in its usual spot. I practically turned our house upside down looking for that key, but I couldn't find it. It turns out the reason I couldn't find the key was because it wasn't in our house. I'd left it at Ms. Grove's, and she found it when she got back from her trip. Ms. Grove was pretty mad that her key was in the front door. But the way I see it, she should have been happy nobody robbed her house. She was mad about her plants, too, because, unfortunately, most of them didn't make it. I suggest that maybe she could buy a cactus or another plant that doesn't need a lot of water to survive. That way, everything would be fine if I lost her key the next time she went on a business trip. But Ms. Grove said she wouldn't hire me again, even if her life depended on it. Then she sent me home without paying. Which stinks, because I really did spend a lot of time looking for that key. Anyway, I think that episode is still fresh in Dad's mind, and that's why I'm hearing this responsibility thing again. Hopefully, Dad will leave my socks on the television next time around, and things won't get to this point. Thursday. Well, Dad is really serious about me taking on more responsibility, and the first thing he wants me to do is to start waking myself up in the morning. That's actually a real problem, because I depend on him to wake me up. That's the way we've been doing it for years, and I really don't see any reason to change things now. Dad said that if I don't learn to wake myself up with an alarm clock, then I'm not going to know how to do it when I go off to college. But I always figured that that would be the way Dad and me would stay in touch. Yesterday was the first day I tried to wake myself up, and it didn't work out so well. My alarm went off and all, but the sound just worked its way into my dreams. And today didn't go any better. I set my alarm to radio and tuned it to a classical music station because I didn't want to hear that annoying beep first thing in the morning. But the music didn't wake me up either. The problem is, without an actual human being waking me up, my brain is always going to find some excuse to keep sleeping. But I think I might have figured out a solution to this alarm clock situation. I found one of those old-style wind-up clocks in the storage room today, and those clocks make a huge racket when they go off. I tested it out to see if it still worked, and sure enough, it did. I don't think anyone could sleep through a noise like that. The only problem is that the clock doesn't have a snooze bar, so I'm worried I'll shut it off and fall back to sleep. So tonight, I hid the clock under my bed. This way, when the alarm goes off, I'll have to get up and find the clock, and then I'll be up for the day. Friday. It turns out the new alarm clock caused some new problems. With that wind-up clock ticking under my bed, it felt like I was sleeping on top of a bomb that was about to go off. So the stress kept me awake half the night. I sleepwalked through my day at school, which was fine until we had an assembly. We were lined up to go into the auditorium, and I was leaning against the wall. I must have fallen asleep for a half second, because my hand slipped, and I accidentally set off the fire alarm. The whole school had to evacuate, and 3 minutes later there were a bunch of fire trucks out front. After they found out there was no fire, they let everyone back into the school. The principal got on the loudspeaker and said that whoever set off the alarm was going to be suspended and that they should turn themselves in. I don't know much, but I do know is that you shouldn't be announcing what the punishment is going to be before you ask people to turn themselves in. So I decided it would be smart to keep quiet and let all this blow over. After third period, a rumor started going around that the school had a fire alarm that squirts out invisible liquid when you pull the handle, and the teachers had some sort of special X-ray wand that they could use to see the liquid on someone's hand. So it was only a matter of time before they found the culprit. Then everyone started wondering if it was the teachers who started the rumor, and it was just a trick to see which kid would go to the bathroom first to wash his hands. So that got everyone really paranoid. Then nobody would go to the bathroom, and everyone who actually needed to go decided to just hold it until the end of the day. The principal eventually had to shut the school down early, because nobody was washing their hands, and we're right in the middle of flu season. Mom was off at the library studying, so I had to call Dad at work and ask him to come pick me up early from school, and he didn't seem too happy about it. But if he didn't make me wake myself up, none of this would have even happened. Wednesday, they're starting a new unit in our health class called The Facts of Life, and apparently it covers all the stuff they've been dancing around for the past couple of months. They sent permission slips home, and if you don't get yours signed, you're not allowed to even be in the classroom for the rest of the semester. I really don't like this permission slip thing. Mom only lets me watch G-rated movies, so I know there's no way she'll let me be in this class. To get around that problem, I typed up a fake note and taped it on top of the actual permission slip. It said, "I give my child permission to do extra homework. Signature of parent or guardian." Luckily, Mom didn't look at the paper too closely, and I got the signature I needed. She said, "Now that was an easy decision." I'm actually glad they're doing this Facts of Life unit, because I've got a lot of questions about this stuff, and I don't have any reliable way of getting answers. Just about everything I know in this department comes from Albert Sandy, and I'm starting to wonder if he's been feeding me bad information. Like last week, he told everyone at lunch table that it's medically impossible for a girl to fart. Well, I know that's not true, because of the time Mom hugged Aunt Dorothy on Christmas Eve. Anyway, today was the first day of the Facts of Life unit, and sure enough, Nurse Powell sent the kids whose parents wouldn't sign their permission slips to the library to be special helpers for the day. The rest of us were pretty excited, because we couldn't wait to hear all the juicy stuff Nurse Powell was about to tell us. But it didn't go the way I expected, at all. Nurse Powell put some charts up on the easel and started talking about zygotes and chromosomes and a whole bunch of other scientific nonsense. I kept waiting for her to tell us all this stuff was a big joke, and then to get to the good stuff. But it never happened. So I'm guessing the school is just trying to confuse us to make us lose interest. Anyway, if the school is trying to confuse us, they're doing a pretty good job. At lunch, we tried to explain what we learned in the Facts of Life unit to the kids who didn't get their permission slip signed. And we couldn't agree on a single thing. Saturday. Another thing Dad's in charge of now that Mom's back in school is taking us kids to our dentist appointments. Most kids don't like going to the dentist, but I actually look forward to it. I've been going to the same dentist since I was 2 years old, and they're totally my type of operation. It's called Tender Hugs Pediatric Dental Care. We cater to cowards. But the main reason I like going to the dentist is because I'm totally in love with the hygienist who works there, Rachel. Rachel always lectures me about brushing and flossing and all of that. But she's so cute that it's hard to take her seriously. Mom's always getting after me about flossing, too. She says that if I don't take better care of my teeth, I'm going to end up with dentures before I go to college. But I've been thinking about that, and maybe false teeth wouldn't be such a bad idea. If I had dentures, I could have someone else take care of my teeth, and I could spend the extra time doing something I actually enjoyed. The only problem with being in love with your hygienist is that you only get to see her every 6 months when you get your teeth cleaned, so I have to make the most of every visit. The last time I had an appointment, I looked Rachel in the eye the whole time she cleaned my teeth, so she could see I was definitely interested. This morning, I actually went out and bought some cologne to make an extra good impression on her. So when Dad told me to get in the car, I was ready. But Dad drove right past my dentist's office and got on the highway. I told him he had missed the turn and that Tender Hugs Dental Care was back the other way. But Dad said I'm too old to keep going to a kid's dentist. So starting today, he was switching me over to his dentist, Dr. Kagan. I got a chill up my spine when he said that name. I've seen Dr. Kagan's billboards on the highway. And to get the impression that he has a totally different approach than Tender Hugs, The billboard reads, Dr. Salazar Kagan, Oral Surgery and General Dentistry. Root canals, abscess drainage, bone grafting. Because bad oral health is nothing to smile about. I tried to get Dad to change his mind, but he said he already did all the paperwork to switch me over and there was no turning back. I thought about making a run for it, but Dad must have known that's what I was thinking because he locked the car doors. Dr. Kagan's office was even scarier than I pictured it. He didn't have any coloring books or toys or the kinds of things that they have at Tender Hugs waiting room. It had signs like, You'd better hope you flossed, and Gum disease. It's probably already too late. Dr. Kagan was waiting for me in his office, and all his sharp metal instruments and drills were right out in the open for me to see when I walked in. So I could tell this guy wasn't fooling around. After I sat down in the chair, Dr. Kagan started grilling me about my eating and drinking habits. He actually got mad when I told him I drink soda. And then he went into the side room and brought out a jar filled with brown liquid that had a rotten tooth in it. He told me, This is what happened to a real tooth when it was left in a jar of soda for 24 hours. I told Dr. Kagan I would make sure I never left my teeth in a jar of soda overnight. But I'm pretty sure he thought I was being sarcastic. But I was just trying to show him I was paying attention. Then he cleaned my teeth. I started to panic, because if there's one person you don't want mad at you, it's the guy who's got metal tools poking around in your mouth. And at one point, Dr. Kagan started doing x-rays. He put a piece of plastic between my teeth and told me to bite down. Then he took an x-ray and got the next piece of plastic ready. After two or three x-rays, I started to get the hang of it. So when Dr. Kagan did my molars, I bit down on the plastic before he even told me to. At least, I thought it was the plastic. It turns out it was actually Dr. Kagan's finger. Well, if he was mad at me before, it was nothing compared to this. Dr. Kagan told me to go out to the waiting room while he worked on my diagnosis. I was pretty sure he was going to come back and tell Dad I needed to get a root canal or something so he could get even with me. But Dr. Kagan actually did something even worse. He told Dad I needed to take major corrective measures for my overbite, and he gave Dad this pamphlet, Your Child Needs Headgear. Dr. Kagan said I would need to wear my headgear at all times, especially during the day when I'm at school. So obviously, he's trying to ruin my social life. Monday, when I woke up this morning, I couldn't find my headgear where I left it. So I had to go to school without it. Not that I'm complaining or anything. In health class, Nurse Powell told us we were going to be starting a new unit about parenting. She said that being a mother or a father is a big responsibility, and in this unit, we're going to learn that taking care of a baby is no piece of cake. Then she took out a carton of eggs. She said each one of us was going to take our egg home and return it to class the next day. And the rule was we had to return our egg in perfect shape with no cracks in it or anything. Now, I don't know what a chicken egg has to do with a baby, but this is one of those situations that makes me wonder if I'd be getting a better education if Mom and Dad switched me over to private school. Then Nurse Powell said this egg thing was going to count for 25% of our grade. Well, when Nurse Powell mentioned grades, I got really nervous. I'm already failing algebra, and I don't need to flunk out of health, too. So I knew I was going to have to keep my egg safe. The other boys didn't seem too worried about their grade, judging by what happened after class let out. I heard it took the janitor all afternoon to scrub the yolks off the lockers. The only boy besides me who didn't break his egg right away was Rowley, who tucked it in his shirt pocket, and he called it Rowley Jr. I didn't have a shirt pocket or anywhere safe to put my egg, so I needed to figure out something quick. I ended up getting a huge wad of toilet paper from the bathroom and stuffing it into my backpack for cushioning. I had to take some of my books out so they wouldn't crush the egg. So I guess that means I won't be doing my history homework tonight. I'm nervous around eggs anyway because of an incident that happened last year. My family got invited to the Snellas' house for another one of their kids' half-birthday parties. The Snellas had a table set up with all sorts of food, and most of it looked too fancy for me. But I knew Mom would think it was rude if I didn't put something on my plate. The only thing I could actually recognize was the deviled eggs, because I'd had them at Grandma's house a couple of times. I put about 10 of them on my plate. But when I bit into one, I gagged. The deviled eggs at the Snellas' house didn't taste anything like the ones Grandma makes, and now I had a whole plate full of them. So I waited until no one was looking, and then I dumped all the deviled eggs into this plastic plant in the dining room. I got away with it. But a few weeks later, Mrs. Snella told Mom there was a really bad smell in their house, and they couldn't figure out where it was coming from. At first, Mr. and Mrs. Snella thought the smell was coming from the carpet, so they hired a cleaner to come up and shampoo the rug. But that didn't solve the problem, and they thought maybe a squirrel or a mouse died inside their walls, so they had a carpenter come in and try to find out. After a few weeks, I guess they couldn't take the smell anymore, so they moved out. And I have to admit, I felt a little bit guilty when I saw they were taking their plastic plant with them. Ever since, I've been trying to figure out how to sneak some deviled eggs into Fregley's house. Tuesday. Yesterday when I got home, I put my egg in my sock drawer. But then I realized it wouldn't be safe in there. Whenever I have something new, Manny finds a way to get it and wreck it. In fact, it only took a day and a half for Manny to find my headgear. And I don't care what Dr. Kagan says, there's no way I'm putting that thing in my mouth again. I thought about hiding the egg at the top of my closet, but that wouldn't stop Manny. I hid some comic books up there once, but that boy can climb like a monkey. What I realized is that the more work I put into hiding something, the better chance Manny had of finding it. So I decided to hide my egg in an obvious spot where he would never think to look. I put it in the refrigerator on the second shelf. But this morning, I opened the refrigerator to get my egg, and it wasn't where I left it. I went into a panic, and I asked Mom if she'd seen Manny take my egg out of the refrigerator. But Mom said she was the one who took it, and that's what she was making me for breakfast. All of a sudden, I felt sick to my stomach. I realized that if I couldn't even take care of an egg for 24 hours, I definitely have no business ever being a parent. When I got to school, I noticed that all the girls in my health class had gotten their eggs back to school safely. Some of the girls were carrying theirs around in little pouches they'd sewn, and a few of them had even accessorized their eggs with sparkle and glitter and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure the point of this lesson was to teach us how hard it is to take care of a baby. So I don't think the girls were really getting the message. I was thinking about swiping Rowley's egg when he wasn't looking and passing it off as my own. But he had drawn all over his in crayon, so that wasn't an option. When Nurse Powell came to my desk, I pulled out a plastic baggie that had my scrambled egg in it. But she didn't seem too impressed. So I guess that means I'm probably going to be in summer school to repeat health class. Nurse Powell congratulated everyone who kept their eggs in perfect condition overnight. Then she collected all the eggs and threw them in the trash. Well, that sent Rowley and the girls into hysterics. All I can say is this whole episode has got me seriously concerned about the next generation of parents in our country. Friday. This afternoon there was a knock on the door, and when I opened it, I was pretty surprised to see Grandpa standing there. I was kind of confused, because he had his overnight bag with him. But when I turned around and saw Mom and Dad with their luggage, I figured out what was going on. Mom and Dad said they haven't gotten to spend a lot of time together lately, so they decided to go on a romantic weekend getaway. They asked Grandpa to come by and watch us while they were gone. I wish they didn't have to go and throw the word romantic in there, because that part was definitely too much information for me. Mom and Dad don't trust me and Roderick to be home alone, because the last time they left us on our own, Roderick had a huge party. Whenever Mom and Dad go away, they usually leave us with Grandma. But Grandma's on a cruise with her friends, so that's why we got stuck with Grandpa. Mom and Dad don't give us any advance warning when they go away. For their anniversary, we didn't even know they were gone until they called from Hawaii. The last time they left us at our own house with Grandpa was when me and Roderick were very little. I don't remember anything that went wrong that week, but I do remember that he dropped me off for t-ball practice at the wrong time and at the wrong field. I don't think Roderick was crazy about the idea of having Grandpa as a babysitter, because the second Mom and Dad left, Roderick took off. Unfortunately, I don't have a van or a driver's license of my own, so I was stuck with Grandpa and Manny. Manny went straight to bed, even though it was only 4:30 in the afternoon. So that left just me and Grandpa. Grandpa made grilled cheese sandwiches with the crust cut off for dinner, which I haven't had since I was really little. We watched some TV, but then at 7 o'clock, Grandpa shut it off and asked me if I wanted him to read me a story. I haven't had a bedtime story since I was in kindergarten, but I didn't want to hurt Grandpa's feelings, so I just went along with it. Saturday. Since I went to bed at 7:30 last night, I woke up really early this morning. And when I came downstairs, I saw a big white binder sitting on the kitchen table. It was called Taking Care of Roderick and Gregory, A to Z. All of a sudden, the grilled cheese sandwich and the story and the early bedtime all made sense. Grandpa was using the manual Mom made for him the last time he took care of us at home, 8 or 9 years ago. I flipped through the pages, and sure enough, it was filled with instructions on how to take care of us when we were little kids, and at least 95% of it was totally outdated. Like R. R is for red fruit juice. Do not let Roderick drink any before bedtime, as it just makes him extremely hyperactive. Some of the stuff in there was actually pretty embarrassing. I'm just glad I found the manual before Roderick did, or he'd never let me hear the end of it. For example, S is for sneakers. Gregory calls his sneakers Wild Boys. He does not know how to tell his left and right shoes apart, so he will need help getting them on. I flipped to the page with the T on it, and here's what I found. T is for television. The boys may watch up to 30 minutes of educational programming a day. I don't think I'm going to survive a whole weekend with Grandpa if I'm not allowed to watch a lot of TV. So I ripped out the page and drew up a new one. T is for television. Gregory is allowed to watch as much as he likes. Then I realized that the S page was on the back of the T page, so I had to replace that one too. S is for spanking. It's what you should do if Roderick ever leaves the house without asking first. Monday. Unfortunately, Mom and Dad got home before Roderick did yesterday, and Grandpa went back to his condo. Which is a shame, because I was really keeping my fingers crossed on that S thing. Mom said that she and Dad did a lot of talking over the weekend, and they agreed that things have started to slip around the house ever since she started going back to school. I figured Mom was going to chew us guys out for not doing our share, but she actually said she was going to hire someone to help with the cleaning. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. The words Mom used were domestic help, but I knew that was just code for maid. I guess Mom was pretty embarrassed about having to hire someone to help out with the housework chores, because she asked all of us not to mention it to anyone. Well, I'm sorry, but opportunities like this don't come around too often for me, so it was a little hard to keep quiet at school and I told my friends, we're getting a maid. Chirag Gupta said his family doesn't need a maid, and that he was glad his mom is there when he comes home from school every day. But I'm sure that's what all the non-maid people say to make themselves feel better. Tomorrow is our maid Isabella's first day. I thought that meant that we could all kick back and be a little extra slobby, since someone would be picking up after us. But Mom made everyone clean the house tonight. She said she didn't want Isabella thinking we were living in a pigsty.